Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Side hustling more than job hunting, paying rent and investing in crypto. South Africa's so-called Gen Z isn't, by all accounts, following anyone's rule book. They're rewriting it. All of that is according to a newly released Gen Z Economy Report by Student Village and Flux Trends, and it deep dives into how young South Africans are earning, saving, spending, and I guess surviving in our very fragile economy. It is a very important economic cohort. Joining me now from Student Village is Chief Executive Ronan Ayers. Ronan, a very warm welcome, and you say Gen Z isn't broke, they're building. What do you mean by that?
So when you speak to them, they'll say, today I'm broke. But when you actually dig a little deeper and see what they're spending on and what they're saving on, it's actually phenomenal. So we surveyed just over 900 young people, predominantly students, and most of them are saving up to a third of their income or income streams on various things. And so relative to the rest of the country, they're actually saving a lot more than the older cohorts.
And it's a very resourceful cohort, isn't it? Your report highlights that just under 17% of respondents identify as unemployed. It's surprising. And I guess the question is, what does it say about how Gen Z defines work? Very different to you and me, I imagine.
Yeah, totally. They're rewriting the playbook on how we do things. And when you look at things, well, students by and large are unemployed. But really, with the reality of the economy, the big unemployment stats are true for the real economy. But what's happening in the informal economy is there is a big focus on side hustling, which is creating my own business. Some of them have part-time jobs, and most of them are actually gearing towards, well, they're using technology and their passion to create a business, and they may or may not get the opportunity to join the formal economy. But if they do, they're generally going to have a side hustle, which they're hoping will get momentum and steam, and they will go into that direction in the future. So they're really marrying technology, passion, and really hoping that that will be their direction.
And it's a demographic that is deeply comfortable with technology, Ronan, but here maybe is the conundrum. The report also says that cash is king. 80% use it regularly. Is that a rejection of digital banking, or maybe a symptom of something, maybe deeper financial mistrust?
So when you look at it on the surface, it actually doesn't make sense, because they are digital natives. And only 2.5% said they want to go into a bank branch. More than half of them have accounts at multiple banks. So they're not loyal. They like to tap. They don't like credit. So only 15% have credit cards. But what we're seeing when we speak to them through deeper conversation is that it's partly a legacy of the past, where 80% prefer to use cash. So they'll draw out the money as it comes in. They see that as risk mitigation, so no one can take my money from me. And they also see it as, I guess, less of a regressive tax for the fees for every tap.
And also, Ronan, nervous, anxious about credit, which we know is scarce anyway these days. How should banks be responding to this, what I would say is maybe a generational resistance to debt?
So what we're seeing is I think this is just a knee-jerk response from either seeing their parents, their siblings, or family really living in the debt trap. And so they're trying to almost recorrect or self-correct the family's trajectory. And so they prefer things like buy now, pay later for transactions. And really what financial institutions should do is to really help them along with financial literacy, how to budget, create different products that are friendly to perhaps building their side hustles, and helping them understand the value of healthy credit versus unhealthy credit. Because we're seeing some really interesting behavior on the other side, because they, I said they're saving, and they're saving a huge amount proportionally to their income, but they are investing in things like crypto. So they're very crypto curious. About 30% of our cohort said they've got crypto. And they're even seeing things like betting apps as a way of either investing or earning. So they certainly have a high risk appetite for returns, but they don't love credit.
And let me try and get my baby boomer head around this one. You say that Gen Z spends as much on clothing as they do on rent, but it goes deeper. Not for vanity, but for identity. Just explain this link then between self-image and financial choice, because I'm battling.
Yeah, so it really doesn't make sense if you just look at it at face value. The thing is that in an economy with scarce opportunities in the formal market, what they're really saying is they're taking a bet on themselves. So they invest in things to look good, to show that they have arrived, and that usually opens other doors. So if they're content creators or influencers or in the digital economy, when you invest in yourself, even as far as Ozempic or investing in your lips or your eyebrows or your shoes, that often opens other doors to other gigs and opportunities. So for someone like you and I, it doesn't sound rational, but to them it makes absolute sense. They're taking a bet on themselves as opposed to the country.
And also interesting is the adherence to saving. So saving over a third of their income, and often people within that cohort would be earning less than 5,000 Rand a month. How do they pull that off?
So I think they're really good at this. They've developed this muscle to start saving. The thing to bear in mind is it's not long-term saving. So only 5% of the cohort are actually saving for retirement. This is generally saving for, again, to bet on themselves. So to either further their education, build their business, so to buy new equipment, etc. They're not the generation that are actually into ownership or where possessions are king. It's all about investing in themselves. So it's to get them further.
It's investing in themselves, but maybe a slight counterpoint to that is there's also a strong community component, or maybe it's complementary, because often income sources are shared between family, partners, and friends. And this says a lot about the collegial economy in practice, doesn't it?
Definitely. And, just to be a bit more outright about it, that, you know, they used to be sole beneficiaries from multiple sources. Now they're part of the contributors to multiple people. So they know that they have to save for a rainy day, and they know if the family calls that they have to answer.
You also say, or the study also says, that this generation doesn't want gimmicks. They want relevance. I understand what you're trying to say, but where do you think brands are getting things wrong in that respect, and how do they need to rethink or recalibrate their approach to this influential young group of consumers?
So one of the things which is quite interesting, if you use an example, like say of a brand like Spotify, if you want to listen to music without ads, you've got to pay for it. So young people, if you take the same kind of approach, they would prefer to have an ad-free world, but they understand that that's part of it if they want things for free. At the same time, they don't want brands to be their friends. It's more transactional, so they don't want to be friends. And also they don't want brands to try hard. So don't try to speak my language. Don't try to be cool. Just actually give me value, give me respect, and you'll get my loyalty, even though I'm not a loyal person by design.
All of that is contained in the new Gen Z Economy Report by Student Village and Flux Trends. And I've been talking to Ronan Ayers, who's Chief Executive Officer of Student Village. Ronan, thank you very much indeed.
Our business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.